I just started to practice yoga. I've been about 12 times. I even tried that hot yoga, and I like it very much. I'm falling for this yoga thing kind of hard. So hard, my friend gave me one of those yoga journals. I don't know if you've seen this magazine called The Yoga Journal. They just had their conference here in Boston. Maybe you saw all the little yogis running around town. Maybe you felt the yoga love all weekend. She gave me this yoga journal. It's this kind of lifestyle magazine, how to work on your poses, how to breathe more deeply, how to be more present in every moment that God gives you. Just be present. There was this essay last month in the Yoga Journal by Elizabeth Gilbert. Maybe you know her. She wrote that Eat, Love, Pray book. She had this essay on when she first started to practice yoga. It was 15 years ago. She had chronic back pain. She found herself more than once laying on her living room floor, all her muscles in spasms, and she couldn't get up. Couldn't go to work, couldn't call a friend for help, couldn't get up and eat. Just had to breathe through and let those muscles relax. After one of these episodes, her friend said, "Maybe you should try yoga." She thought, what the heck, I'll give it a try. She had no idea what to expect. She had no idea what to wear. She wore a boiled wool sweater and tight jeans and cowboy boots to her first yoga class. She showed up in the studio and she took one look at the place and she knew, this yoga thing is not for me. The smell of incense, she was more used to the smell of cigarettes. The chanting in the background, the shrine at the front of the class, were they serious with that shrine? The old hippie instructor, in her old black leotard, she took one look at the place and knew this yoga thing wasn't for her, but she went through the class in her boiled wool sweater and her tight jeans. She did the whole class. And at the end, that hippie lady made them lay down on their mat and pull their knees up close to their chest and just give themselves a little hug. She rolled her eyes the whole time. She said, just give yourself a little hug and rock back and forth and let your weight massage your lower back. Then she said, take your legs and squeeze yourself one more time and then tenderly, gently, lovingly take your knees and drop them to the floor. Now leave your knees over there to the right and open up your arms. Then that hippie lady came right to her, still talking to the whole class, took her face in her hands and said to the whole class, now turn your face to the left. She felt something in her back let go. It was a revelation, this twist she was doing, this precise shape. She had never done it before. As the instructor was talking to the entire class, she took one hand and put it on her hip and one hand and put it on her shoulder and opened up that twist just a tiny bit more. And she burst into tears. In front of everyone, not just Misty, she wailed in front of everyone. Something inside of her opened up. Something inside of her was unlocked for the first time, and she thought, this pain, this chronic pain, will not win. For the first time in that precise shape, she could see a whole new future. They were huddled together in a house. Huddled together and afraid, and the doors of the house were locked. They had lost their leader. They took their leader, their Jesus, and they stripped him naked in front of everyone. And they spit in his face, and they mocked him, and they hung him up on a cross like an ordinary criminal. They hung him up to die. They had lost their leader. They had lost their hope, their reason to live. And so they locked themselves up in a house and they locked down their hearts. Mary Magdalene came to them earlier. She said, I've seen him. I have seen the Lord. He's back. He has risen from the dead just like he promised. At first, I didn't recognize him. I thought he was the gardener, but then he called my name. He said, Mary, and I knew it was our Rabboni. Back and alive, just like he promised, but they did not believe her. They were in that house and they were locked down, and Jesus came to them. No judgment, no where were you, no why did you let me die alone, no how could you, just Jesus, full of peace and forgiveness. He said, peace be with you. Look at my hand. Look at my side. And then he breathed on them, just like that God of Genesis back then breathed on those first people, breathed on them that daffodil-smelling breath and said, receive the Holy Spirit. As God sent me, so I sent you. And they believed. But Thomas wasn't there. They said to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. He's back. He's risen from the dead just like he promised. But Thomas couldn't believe him, and you can't blame the man. He said, if I can't put my fingers in his womb, if I can't reach out my hand and touch his side, I will not believe. A week later, in that same house, which was still shut up, which was still locked. I want you to hear that. That house was still shut. Thomas isn't the only one who struggles with faith here. Their house is still shut, and Jesus comes again and says again, peace be with you. Thomas, stretch out your hand and touch me right here. Thomas, stretch out your hand and put it right in my side. And Thomas reached out and he saw this wounded, resurrected thing. He reached out on one side and saw this pain, and on the other side, all this forgiveness. He saw these wounds that the world had created, that he had participated in, and then this one who had come back from all that pain, he found himself in this shape, this precise form that he had never felt before, in the middle of these wounds and this resurrection, and something inside of him opened up. Something inside of him was unlocked, and he knew that pain that he had witnessed, that he had caused, would not have the final word, and he knew a new future was possible. We have been traveling together for 40 days and 40 nights through Lent. We have been practicing our faith together, you and I. For 40 days, we have taken our knees and we have tenderly and lovingly put them down into the suffering of the world. We have taken our knees and we have let them touch down into the bitterness, into the dust and ash in Haiti and in Chile. We have put our knees down into the wilderness, but then Easter comes and the stone has been rolled away. We are now in Eastertide. Lent was 40 days. Eastertide is 50 days. It is longer than Lent for a reason. This is the time we celebrate and feast together as the people of God. It is a week of weeks, the honeymoon for the church. That last Sunday, this Sunday, the Holy Spirit is in our midst, in her little black leotard. We will still, because we are called to put our knees down in the pain and the suffering of the world. That's who we are as Christians. But then the Holy Spirit comes and takes your face in her hands and says, look towards God's future, all that love and that hope and that peace that is coming. Open up your arms to God's future. It is on its way. We've got 50 days to practice our faith here. And in those 50 days, that little lady in the leotard, that Holy Spirit is going to pull open one hip and pull open your shoulder until you twist open a little more. Something inside of you should open up. Something inside of you should be unlocked, and you will know that the pain of this world will not win, because your face will be turned towards God's future, which is coming, which is on earth as it already is in heaven. God breathed on those disciples just as God will breathe on you. As God sent Jesus, so Jesus sends you into God's future, which is possible. Just let yourselves be open. This is the good news during Eastertide. Say amen.